Our history is all around us.
And we're transporting you back for the inside story of the people, places and moments that made us. I'm James Grasby.
And I'm Helen Antrobus. Lean in for a tale from time.
Back when.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here. Back When series is coming to an end, so we wanted to say a massive thank you for time travelling with us over all our episodes. We hope you've enjoyed the adventures as much as we have, and we just wanted to relive a few favourite moments together. We've voyaged far together through Victorian times, exploring bunkers from the Second World War, visiting Roman caves, learning from great women from history, but also dealing with some pretty filthy and smelly moments.
During the 19th century, the population of London is estimated to have grown from 1 million to 5.5 million inhabitants. With the rapid expansion in the population came somewhat of a foul challenge. What to do with everyone's poo?
Up until the year 1815, it was actually illegal to put sewage in the River Thames.
This is Laura French, part of the team at the Crossness Engines Trust, a heritage charity whose own history centres around this smelly period of time.
How London and pretty much all big cities in the world had coped with human waste up until that point was that it was stored in big holes in the ground called cesspits. If you're a wealthy person, you might have your own cesspit. If you were poorer, you might share one with your neighbours. What would happen is once your cesspit is full, you would call on the services of the night soil men to come and empty your cesspit. Now, these men had perhaps one of the most disgusting jobs in history. They would come to your house at night, less people around. They would scoop out all the poo from your cesspit, load it into barrels, and take it away on a horse and cart out to the countryside. There, they would sell it to farmers to use as fertiliser.
This is where we begin to see the darker side of the city in the Victorian period.
And it worked reasonably well up until the Industrial Revolution.
And don't forget, history can be fun too. Like when we dropped in on a Georgian ball where people tried the best to date without the help of apps. And while it's the men that make the first move, always, it doesn't mean women would just sit and wait politely. There were ways and means at hinting who you'd like to be asked to dance by.
So say you wanted to dance with a guy, you might introduce yourself to that guy's sister, and then you might say, oh, who was that guy? I'd really love to dance with him. You would absolutely try and catch someone's eye, flash them a little smile, not too much, but just enough to let them know that you're interested, that you've seen them. To a very, very certain extent, we think there might have been some kind of fan language, as in kind of people using fans to make different kind of coded signals to each other.
And if the coded signals worked and you secured your dance, well, you were on your way, because it wasn't just a dance. And let's be honest, a lot of us are here for the bits that we rarely learn about at school, the mysterious, sometimes gory stories. Walking around Eme and learning about the history of quarantine was a personal favourite for me, and you all enjoyed it from the safety of your own homes. We make our way down the hill and into the heart of the village, stopping outside a stone cottage with a well-kept garden. The first plague victim, George Vickers, lived and died here.
George Vickers was a tailor's assistant living with his employers, Alexander and Mary Hadfield. In September 1665, a box of tailor's materials was delivered to this house from London. These were damp, so George Vickers laid them out in front of the fire to dry. George became ill not long after this, and it's thought that the material was contaminated with plague. And within 5 or 6 days of the appearance of those first symptoms, he had died.
The Great Plague was rife in London when George Vickers received his box of materials from the capital. It was caused by bacteria transmitted to humans by the bites of fleas or lice, which were carried by rats. The city was infested with rodents. They were attracted by streets filled with rubbish and waste, especially in the poorest areas. Along the way, we discovered that history isn't just about dates or events, it's people's stories and unexpected moments that we hope made Back When a unique experience. There's so much history content at the National Trust, from our YouTube channel to great days out at your nearest heritage sites. Thank you for being there, for listening and learning with us, and for becoming part of this amazing story. Hopefully, we'll see you again very soon.